Good afternoon. Happy Thursday. Yes, the week is flying by. It's Joe Beamer in for Tom Bowerly. Actually, I have to admit, it doesn't feel like it's flying by. It actually feels like this week has gone ridiculously slow. I hope that that's not a comment on the quality of shows that I've been hosting. But you know, we'll have to take a look back and dissect, right? We are with you for the next 4 hours. It is great to be with you on this Thursday. And whatever the topic we talk about today, and there are plenty, 803-0930, star 930 gets you on the phone. 803-0930 gets you on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. Hope everyone's in that holiday spirit today. I have to say, walking down a busy road early today when most people would be driving to work, I have to say, it seemed like less people were on the road. Now, maybe people are going to work later these next few days. I don't know. But the year is winding down. Right now is the last day that my son is in daycare with my dad for the year. Yeah, you know, my wife's last day of school, and then she has the rest of the year off. So, enjoying that. A lot of the last, Al Marenka, engineer here at WBEN. This is his last day of the year. I know a lot of people can relate at work, or if you are working the next 2 days, let's be honest, you're probably putting in a 50% effort. Or maybe you're doing a full 100%. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, it's like George when he gets the new job and the boss leaves for the week and he's just sitting there looking at the clock. 803-0930, star 930, like I said, gets you on the show. The next few hours, we're going to be revisiting the blizzard of 2022. I know David talked a little bit about it during his show in the noon hour. We are going to kind of go hour by hour, day by day of what it was like here at the studio during the storm. But I want your memories of the storm as well at 803-0930. You know, lessons learned, how you got by, what you remember of just being home. Some of you home alone. I know my wife was home alone pregnant for 3 days as I was here at the studio. So want your memories as well. Maybe your memories of something that you heard during our broadcast as we were live during the entire blizzard and beyond. In studio with me, we have Pasquale Maggiore. You heard him during the blizzard. He actually drove here during the blizzard. We'll talk to him about that. Jimmy Love, James Stelliano, he was here for the blizzard and then the following 3 weeks before he finally went home. Tom Puckett is here. We'll talk with him throughout the show as well. We will also talk with Dick Bowerly, who you heard on that first day of storm coverage and the story of him getting home. But first, guys, welcome. Happy Thursday.
Thanks for having us.
A lot different than it looked last time we were together in this very studio.
Yeah, it's, I guess the old saying goes, what a difference a year makes, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a 53-degree Christmas. Last year, it was anything but. So I'm going to start with my memory of coming into work. Now, I have to say, and I've told this part of the story before, I had the equipment to host from home, right? And, you know, maybe that's what I should have done, but I wanted to see everything working, right? I wanted to drive into work so I had a perspective of what it was like on the roads. And I drove in for BMAZ and Beamer, so I was on the road around 8:30. It was not that bad. You know, it was getting a little more difficult to drive as I approached the studio. But during the 9 o'clock show, it started to pick up. We had the travel ban put into place. And then I remember once David went on the air, I remember doing, I think, a segment with David and, you know, just going back about how it was deteriorating and this and that. And I remember by 10:30, I walked out, looked out the window and texted my wife and she said, yeah, you probably shouldn't drive in that. And so started a 3-day adventure here on WBEN in these very Odyssey studios that we probably learned everything we hadn't known about this building through those 3 days, I would say. I would say we know more. We probably know more now about this suite than anyone else because of the 3 days spent here. So then we had our regular lineup, went into David, into Tom, and then to Puckett, and then special coverage began. I remember coming back on at 10 p.m. My first guest was Sal Capaccio in Chicago, talking about the Bills getting to Chicago and what it was like there. Because if you remember, yes, we had a blizzard starting here in Buffalo, but Chicago was freezing cold. the everyone involved in that game was talking about how cold it was at Soldier Field. And then following me at 10 p.m., at 2 a.m., was Pasquale. And Pasquale, you had an interesting drive into the studio.
Yeah, well, my evening started off with a text I think I got from Tim at around 8:30. Don't worry, don't come in. It's fine. Everything will be okay. I'm like, I'm going to come in. It's not a big deal. I've been working here since 2013, so having the opportunity to go on air, there was nothing that was going to stop me from getting here. So I left my house in Wheatfield, went down the boulevard, no problems whatsoever, made the left turn on East Robinson over by Tops and Wegmans there, and that's where it got a little bit dicey. And as I got further towards Sweet Home, I saw a couple cars off to the side. As much as I would have liked to have stopped and helped people, I knew if I stopped, I was going to get stuck. So I continued down Sweet Home, and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. I have four-wheel drive. I have a truck. No big deal. So as I got underneath the underpass heading up towards Maple Road, that's when I could not see a thing. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to go through this light, because if I stop, I'm getting stuck in the snow. Got through the light, no problem, made the left turn, and I'm like, all right, I got to pick up enough speed to get in the parking lot, because I saw how it was a little blown over. So gunned it safely, town of Amherst police, no big deal. got in the driveway, found a spot over by the building over there. And I remember when I parked, I'm like, I texted you, and I'm like, I can't see the building, so I will be there when I get there. Worked my way into that other building, made my way around, and got here maybe around like 1:30 or so for the 2 o'clock shift. So
yeah, and you had that perspective. I remember when you went on air, you were talking about that drive-in. And now, obviously, once you were on the road, everything had been shut down for hours at that time.
Yeah.
And now, you talked about cars stuck on the road. How many other cars were actually traveling when you were on your drive here?
Like a small handful. Actually, there was traffic coming from Maple Road as I was making that left turn onto Maple Road coming towards UB. So there was like a handful, and there's about a handful, maybe five or six or so, that was stuck on the side of the road on Sweet Home as I was making my way down here to Corporate Parkway.
It was, I was surprised. And not only did you make it, you parked your truck in a perfect spot, which we'll get to later, that really helped your exit on Christmas afternoon.
Yes, yes.
we'll get to that. And then Jimmy Love, James Stelliano, Jimmy was on the board, I think, that entire night. When did you finally tap out and maybe get a nap in?
Monday.
Oh, we need Mike 4 on, Tanner. I'm sorry. Jimmy is here. We'll hear from him in just a second, because Jimmy was on the board for my show at 9 a.m. And I think Jimmy was still on the board at 10 p.m. When I went back and did the 4-hour special coverage. So Jimmy was here. And now I have to say, we had a plethora of, you know, easy make food, right? We had the macaroni and cheese, we had the ramen noodles, we had 4 loaves of bread, we had turkey, cheese, mayonnaise, butter. I probably had more toast last year around the holiday time than I had all this year, because just every time I got hungry, I was like, I don't feel like making anything. I'm going to put 4 pieces of bread in the toaster and make some toast. So Jimmy, you got here at 5 a.m., and
4:30.
I'm sorry, 4:30 a.m. And then you were on the board until when that first day?
I don't think I took a nap until like 11 p.m. on Monday.
Really?
Honestly, I don't think I slept at all. I was here for 90 straight hours, and I think I slept maybe five hours or less.
Oh yeah, that
I was awake like with toothpicks underneath my eyes, eating that mayonnaise, just eating straight mayonnaise that you bought.
You and Patrick Starr?
It's still, I think that mayonnaise is still in the fridge here at the...
Yeah, so is the butter.
Yeah.
But I remember, now I am not good at staying awake. Like, I can stay awake for longish time, but not as long as Jimmy. I remember like a half hour into Pasquale's show, I had nothing to sleep on. Bowerly came with the camping site. He had his, a sleeping bag, a heater. He set up the KB studio like it was his bedroom. He was all set to go. I was lucky to get my car in the garage under the building so I could go back and forth to it to like my gym bag. And I made a pillow out of my jacket, and my gym clothes were my pajamas. And that was my sleeping quarters in the auxiliary Studio One, where I would put the station on the board and then fall asleep. Pasquale, when you weren't on the air, what studio was your room here at the station?
I did the one where you first enter on the right-hand side, and I was pretty well bundled up when I got here, but I fully expected to work 2 to 6, then go right home. So I didn't bring any extra stuff either. I was just kind of like winging it as it is and taking advantage of the great selections of the vending machine out there.
Yeah, the vending machine got a lot of business, that first night. Now, I remember, this is how naive I was, because we'd been talking about this all week, right? And, you know, a year ago today, after work, I know a lot of people were going out getting that last minute stuff. I remember walking through Target on the Boulevard, and I mean, the grocery section of that store was so overpicked. But obviously, there were some people that decided, hey, we're going to do it Christmas Eve morning before the storm comes in. And, you know, people last minute shopping. There were two issues there. Number one, the store moved in quicker than we had planned. But number two, a lot of those stores were already picked over from all the people that had gone the night before. But I remember that night a year ago, and then coming in the next day, and I really thought 100%, I thought, well, this will be a bad storm today. We'll probably do some coverage on Christmas Eve. I was still thinking when I went to bed in the other studio the morning of Christmas Eve that I would be home by Christmas Eve night. Quickly, we learned, no, you're going to be watching the Bills game here in studio and then going home. So after your 2 to 6 show, you took a nap, right? You took a mid-morning nap.
Yeah, like I slept like a couple hours on the hard cement floor in the other studio.
And then everyone got up for the Bills game. And shout out to Bowerly. We talked about this last week. Shout out to Bowerly. He volunteered to host during the Bills game so everyone else here could go watch the game, kind of get their mind off of things. But one thing I will not forget about that weekend, you know, and we're going to get into a lot of other things, was sitting here 2 days in a row, the scene out the window never changed. It was, you know, zero visibility, snow falling at the same consistency, maybe even faster at times. And it just seemed like it was never going away.
Yeah, I was like planning my escape a couple times on Saturday morning. I was trying to shovel out and dig out and just see like what was able to happen, not realizing Max's situation that he was in. And then, you know, I tried to get my truck out, and I got like maybe about 1/4 of the way up the driveway before I realized that, yeah, the snow is almost basically over my tires. I got to get out of here, and I'm going to be in this building for the next day and a half.
And then on Christmas morning-ish, right, or mid-morning Christmas Day, we finally saw the first plow come to the Uniland facility, and I know that's when wheels were in motion.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we had made a couple phone calls, and Jimmy was really instrumental at getting the contacts in regards to the building and reaching out, and, you know, with help from Tim as well, obviously. And, those minutes, though, seemed like hours as we were waiting for that plow and just, I mean, you know, teamwork makes the dream work. We were all together as one team. But then again, you know, you have to worry about what's going on outside of these walls here with our significant others. I have pets. You had a pregnant wife at home. Jimmy had family at the house. And, you know, so it was kind of, you know, you want to do what you can here, help out where you can. But also, you know, your mind is drifting away to your loved ones and your family.
Yeah, the more days go by. And I mean, there was a time on Christmas morning I thought, wow, I'm going to be here another full day. We will get into that day, into that conversation. Also, Jimmy did get across the street at one point, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Jim?
Oh, I was dry. I drove my car around to keep our plaza open so that the people who were coming here could get in.
Yes, because there was a book of rooms for us at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
The problem is most of us were not going to make that trip in the snow to Motel 6, but Jimmy did once, and Max Ferry did, and we are going to talk about that. Also, after the break, Dick Bowerly is going to call in. He and Jimmy had an experience driving home after he was on the air, so we're going to talk about his memories. We'd like to hear your memories, 803-0930, star 930, and we'll fill out the other days, because we do have how we all got home on Christmas night, and the coverage, and your phone calls that, you know, 3, 4 in the morning. We had full bank of calls, people calling, and the service that you provided, people saying, hey, I went to such and such address, I checked on them, they have no power, but they're good, let so-and-so know who called to say to check on that. I mean, it was a community effort You know, we just opened the phone lines and you guys did the work. 803-0930, star 930, talking about your memories, talking about our memories from the blizzard of 2022. A year ago, tomorrow is when the snow started falling. It'll be a different scene this Christmas day as it's going to be 53 degrees. We'll talk about that too, how 53 degrees, how you're going to treat Christmas a little different this year without. It's going to be a very green Christmas, but we'd like to hear from you. We're going to hear from Pasquale. We're going to hear from Jimmy. We're going to hear from Puckett. We're going to hear from Dick Bowerly and you. It's Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hey, welcome back. It's Beamer in for Bowerly here on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're doing a revisit of the blizzard of 22. We'd like to hear your calls at 803-0930, star 930. The Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930. And we're kind of walking you through the coverage here at WBEN and all of our experiences during the blizzard. Now, taking it to the first day, the 23rd, that first day. Now, Jimmy, you were saying during the break, now, you came in at 4:30. You were doing the new morning shift. You said it didn't seem like there was anything on the horizon if you were just to judge it by your drive into the station.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that for anyone that left, that leaves, wakes up at that hour, which I don't think, I mean, there's people up at that hour, but last year, December 23rd, it was like 40 degrees, a little rainy. It was nice. I mean, by December standards in Western New York, it felt warm enough that I didn't have to wear a winter jacket.
And you were thinking what storm?
I don't think there was aside from like some overcast skies. Like it was just like, all right, so this will pass, and I'm sure it's just going to snow a little bit. But do I really need a winter jacket and boots? Like I'm going to go home after this. It'll be fine. I didn't get home till Monday at 10:30 p.m.
So everyone at this table came here thinking they were going to be home that same day.
Yeah, and anyone that left that morning, there are many people that left that day that didn't think anything of it.
I know, yeah.
Illusion was just crazy. And then the temperature quickly plummeted down to, I want to say it was 7 degrees or so-ish.
Feel like, right, with the wind chill?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember leaving my building, and there is there are offices at the lobby of my building, and there were people waiting to be seen in these offices. Like I was floored that they were still open because of what the forecast was. And you know, by the time I drove to the station, it was starting to get bad outside. But for that split second leaving my building, I'm like, oh, well, maybe they've said something, maybe they've pushed it back, because of course I slept right up until I was supposed to get into work. So, you know, you had that like confusion, like, okay, is it starting later? What's going on? So again, I came into work thinking I'll do the 9 o'clock show here, and then I'll go home and I'll do the special coverage at 10 from the equipment that is in my closet at home. I never used that equipment. That equipment I had to return a few months ago, never used it. And again, I think it's you guys can agree or disagree. I'd like to know. I think it's a perspective that we'll never have again, being here and literally being here on an hour by hour basis. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm happy at the end that I was here and not, hopefully my wife's not listening. I'm glad I was here and not hosting from home, because I do feel like it's an experience I'll never forget. And we were on top of things. We had a full newsroom here. Right? We had everything at our disposal, and I'm just not sure if I was at home with my laptop. Now there are some people who could do that and be even better informed than being here. I'm not sure I would have been able to be as on top of things as we were here at the station.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been here when news is broken, but this was like breaking news times 20, not to mention the lives that we lost, but the weather itself and really just a crazy situation that I know I won't forget. And you mentioned your wife too, and now my wife does not let me forget that I was here last year on Christmas Eve instead of being home. But I will make it up to her this year, so we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think we can safely say we'll all be home for Christmas.
I would hope so, unless what I'm not even going to say it.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it.
I don't know about you guys. I offered to work on Christmas.
You offer to work every holiday.
That's right. I do. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that we'll experience another event like that where we have to serve the public. Maybe not to that magnitude. Hopefully not to that magnitude.
Well, I'll tell you, if there's ever again a threat that I will be stuck at work, I am going the Bowerly route of the sleeping bag, the change of clothes, and I will set up in one of the studios. Now, on Christmas Eve, we had the programming on the station, because it sounded like everything was nicely planned out. But we were hour by hour saying, okay, when are you going on? When am I going? Except for Bowerly raising his hand and saying, I'll host during the Bills game. Everything else was just kind of a, do you want to take a nap now and then go on? I'll take a nap and then, or I'll go on and then take a nap. It was very interesting how the programming came together.
Yeah, I took a nice, long, possibly one of the best naps I've ever taken in my life right after the Bills game, and I woke up to a flurry of text messages because I didn't expect to have to go back on the air. I figured somebody else would want to do it instead of me, but thankfully you had replied that I would take a shift, so I believe I went back on. On Christmas Eve night around midnight or so until maybe like 4 a.m. And then we just continued throughout Sunday and just continued with Tim and Susan at home in the morning and then back to the station.
I remember, yes, you were sleeping and we were trying to come up with the overnight schedule. And I said, well, I'm not going to volunteer him for 3 a.m. So let him take midnight. I'll go sleep now and I'll do the lead up to Tim and Susan. And, I remember my wife texted me saying, when are you going to be on the air again? I said, 3 a.m. She said, well, I won't be listening. And then at 3:15, she texted me, okay, I'm up, I'm listening. I mean, after a while, everyone's just up. I mean, there's nothing to do. You know you have nothing to do the next day, right? You're not doing Christmas the way you would do Christmas. Most people were up during a majority of the storm.
Well, I mean, what's the first thing you do after you take a long nap? You go right to the refrigerator, right? So that was my feeling. I'm like, is there a pot of beef stew? Is there some chili or something? And then I go to the refrigerator. Maybe there was a little bit of bologna left, some bread. And then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go to the vending machine and grab something. And then I think I went back to that studio, just checked on Jimmy to make sure he was okay. Of course, Jimmy took it like a trooper. He was there when we needed him. But yeah, it was really... Talk about, again, not to take anything away from the individuals that lost their lives and any of those struggles, but it was really, you know, eye-opening as far as kind of interfering with your daily routine and especially on all days of Christmas Eve.
When did you recognize, and this is for both of you, the seriousness of the storm? Do you get what I'm saying? Because I was looking out, hey, it's a bad snowstorm, but I think on Christmas Eve at some point, I remember realizing this is bad, people are in danger. You know, and that wasn't something that hit me right away. Am I alone there? When did you realize, okay, this storm is bad? I mean, this is a bad storm.
Oh, I was on the board most of the day, and I'm used to, you know, we're all used to breaking news, and the call volume was immense, as it always is, but it was unusually busy. And in between all those calls, it was interesting as I'm filtering through the trolls that are in there to begin with, filtering those out from the people who are really in need. And it almost, at some point in there, it hit me that I'm like a 911 operator here. Like some of the calls, the people that are crying to me to get on the radio for help, it started to really ring true that this was a lot more serious than it looked out our window, that there were people on the thruway, there were people in every part of Western New York that just needed help, that had relatives in places, and it was wild to me. I've never experienced anything like that. The emotion that was there.
I'll never forget James calls, and he kept on calling. I think he called every one of us. He called at least once. I'll never forget his calls. But there are other calls that, you know, you had someone just saying, "My parents are at," and they would just put the address out on the air. And then like an hour or two later, you have someone say, yeah, I made my way over there. Everything's fine. I mean, just seriously doing updates on calls to give people that reassurance because, you know, it's scary when it's as bad as it is outside and you can't get a hold of a loved one. Unfortunately, too many people had that happen to them during the storm. And, you know, I thought it was great that people were, okay, I'm on that street. I'll make my way down there.
And when we were kind of taking turns screening calls as well, just people calling in for general information, people calling in to report a power outage, things like that, and we were doing whatever we could to try to get them in contact with the people that they needed to speak with. I mean, that was very eye-opening. And just, again, listening to the program, as you mentioned, and for me going outside and just really seeing like what was taking place out there. I'm not the type of person that's going to overreact to a weather forecast, no matter what the forecast is. That's just my nature. But being out in the elements, seeing it firsthand, and as it just continued and continued and continued, and then my wife had sent me pictures from our house of the snow piling up there. I mean, we live in Wheatfield. I grew up in North Tonawanda, so snow was never an issue for us. But seeing that and just kind of feeling helpless about, you know, not being able to be there to, you know, clean off the walk and take care of the porch and things like that, that's when it really kind of hit home for me.
Going back to that building 300 where you parked your car near, I would go over there. No offense to you guys, I love you guys, and it's fun working with you. But you know, after being stuck with people, you need a little space. And we're lucky to have that pedestrian bridge over to building 300. And going down those stairs and seeing the wall of snow against the doors is an image. Well, I'll never get it out of my head because it's on my phone, but is an image that I'll just never forget going, wow, look at how high up that snow is. And that was the case at almost every door that you could see from this at this complex.
Yeah, and there wasn't really much. We had gone down Saturday morning to try to find snow shovels and anything we could use to kind of clear out the door and kind of make some space. Because again, at that point in time, we still didn't know how much snow we were expecting, how serious it was. So that was one of the struggles. And you had mentioned going down into your car underneath the building. And that's where we finally were able to find a couple of snow shovels. I believe Jimmy found one too, and possibly Jerry found one as well. But I mean, again, at that point in time, we can only do so much.
Yeah, it was, like I said, it's something we'll never forget. And on that first day, we had Dick Bowerly on the air, 7 to 10. Dick, thanks for calling in.
Hey, what a day that was, huh?
Yeah. Now, what is your memory of that the 23rd? You're on the air at 7 p.m. You can't see Building 300 from the window like you usually can. What do you remember about that day?
Oh, I remember everything about it. I remember driving in, and, you know, it's no secret, I don't live very far from the radio station. It generally takes me a minute and a half. I could not see the stoplights at Sweet Home and Maple. So I had to pull in that gas station until it kind of calmed down a little bit. And then I finally saw the light heading into Corporate Parkway, and I thought, oh, man, I'm home free. So I cruised in the driveway, and then, as you know, I got stuck 5 times in the parking lot. And then I finally was able to maneuver my way out and get to it, right when you guys were coming out to rescue me, by the way. And I was able to get over to my normal parking area because I found a spot in the lot where, like, the snow wasn't that high. And it took me 45 minutes. Normally it takes me a minute and a half to get to work. It took me 45 minutes. So I remember I'm walking in, my brother's on the air, and he looks at me and he says, oh, I meant to call you to tell you not to come in. It was too Thanks, Tom. But anyways, I mean, there was that. As far as the radio memories go, it was sort of a helpless feeling. I think you felt that, too, where we were getting a lot of calls from elderly people that had, like, no heat or no, you know, no electricity, and we really couldn't do that much. Then we were getting calls from stranded motorists and, you know, trying to gather up where they were located to see if anybody could come out and offer any kind of assistance. I remember that a lot. A very, very frustrating night because we really wanted to help, but, you know, we could only do so much because the driving was absolutely, it was non-navigable that night for sure. So then the other thing I remember was, because I live so close, it was, how am I going to get home? And my car, again, I tried to leave. I tried to follow Jimmy Stelliano's huge truck's footprints in the snow, and I got stuck again right up by the entrance. So Jim comes home to my house. We grab 2 shovels. We go back to the parking lot. We try to dig myself out. That doesn't work. Long story short, Jim, the saint that he is, he does get me home. And there I sat for basically 2 days, and I came back on the Sunday to rescue my car.
And your car was fine?
Yeah, everything was fine. In fact, it was funny when I went back with my neighbor, and somebody from the station was already out trying to shovel me out, even though I wasn't even there yet. And that really helped. Three people with the shovels, I was able to get enough of a path where I could get my vehicle out. But, you know, you don't really want to leave your vehicle when it's stuck in an entrance thinking, like, well, what if some snowplow guy comes in and doesn't see my car, you know?
That would be my number one concern. And you and Jerry Craig both had cars stuck at the entrance. And that was my main concern of that first plow that's just blindly driving through. But I'm glad nothing happened. And, you know, Jimmy was able to get you home. That's one of two stories of Jimmy going to get somebody and either bring them back or take them home. But Dick Bowerly, it was a weekend we'll never forget, a Christmas we'll never forget. And you kind of kicked off that special coverage at 7 o'clock that night.
Yeah, I did. And again, it, you know, I just always felt this sense of obligation. I mean, when I'm heading in and I can't even see the curbs on my street, okay, and I'm very carefully trying to navigate my way to the station, so I'm passing the North Bailey Fire Hall, which is the corner of Sweet Home near Maple, and I'm thinking, like, here's my street. Should I bail or should I just keep trying to go? And I'm like, well, I said I would come in. I'm coming in. So that's why I just kind of continued. You know, again, I kind of felt an obligation not only to, you know, to Tim Wenger, but to you guys who were toughing it out all day, and certainly an obligation to the community that if I could provide some assistance, and especially given that I live so close, I didn't feel like I really had any legitimate excuse to not show up, but I probably really did. But, you know, I was, as you know, Joe, I was there.
You were, and like I said, kicked off our coverage. We're glad you got here, and we're glad that we are able to get you home. Hey, Dick Bowerly, hope you have a very Merry Christmas, and thanks for checking in with us.
Hey, and same to everybody, you know, at the station, and to all our listeners, and especially to the people who love to troll us on the text board, Joe. And I got them good last time I was on, by the way.
That text board is a favorite of trolls, but you know what? It gives them something to do.
I ignore it, and I feel like if being a troll on the text board makes somebody feel like they have a purpose in life, then have at it. You know what I mean?
For sure. Hey, Dick Bowerly, thank you so much for checking in. He was on to kick off the special coverage. You hear him here on WBEN. Now, Jimmy also had to help Max Ferry. Max, you were stuck here last year. What was your memory when you first came to the station? Were you... let me rephrase that question, guys. When did you realize you were stuck at the station?
I think it was when you came in. After Tops, I didn't have a sleeping bag. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't definitely not planning on spending the night here. I thought it was just going to be another, what was it, Friday? Just another Friday, get out of here. Brayton wasn't here, so I was ready to do, you know, my two stories for the day and get on and go home. And then I realized... when you came back with food, like, oh, okay, we're actually going to be stuck here.
Second trip for food, by the way.
Yeah.
I went to Wegmans at 11 and then realized I got nowhere close to enough. Went to Tops, which, by the way, you can see Tops on a good day from the station. And driving in, I mean, I was guessing at lights. I mean, really, guessing at lights. And kind of like you said, Pasquale, I was just not stopping. Because if I stopped, I'm stuck. And I was debating if I should tell the story. I'm not going to tell that story. But get to Tops, everything's overpicked. I just got whatever I could. And yeah, I walked in, I had four loaves of bread, I had mac and cheese, I had ramen noodles, and then Bowerly said, where's the beer? And then I didn't realize that I was supposed to get beer as well. So Max, now, at the first night, you did attempt to get to the Motel 6 where we had a block of rooms.
Yeah, and Jimmy was so gracious enough to take me in his beautiful car. And then when I got there, I called Jimmy. I was like, what's going on? And then you got stuck.
Well, somebody had gotten stuck and blocked the way out, and I couldn't get my car out of their parking lot anymore. On top of that, the snow on Maple Road was ankle deep or more. And I'd never seen Maple Road with snow on it like that. I mean, with it being like a thoroughfare that leads to the hospital, it was shocking to me. And I, you know, somebody had just sort of lodged their car in the hotel parking lot. And I'm like, well, I'll just walk to work.
So you that both was, walked in the conditions.
That was quite a walk.
That was the scariest moment of my life.
How long was the walk? Because the Motel 6 is right across the street. Yeah. How long was that walk for you?
It was, oh my gosh, I couldn't even remember how long it was. I was just trying to make sure I didn't freeze to death because I was literally jumping in snow. The long curved driveway to, or you know, entrance way to get here was like terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
It was up to my waist and I had to literally jump out of snow.
And it's as it's falling. I mean, it's still falling to where you can't see anything. Now, so you spent the night at the Motel 6.
Yeah.
Was there anyone else there? Was there a continental breakfast next morning? I mean, what was at the Motel 6 in the middle of a blizzard?
Nothing.
No.
I mean, there was I saw one guy outside trying to like open the entranceway just to get in. Like, cuz there was snow blocking the entranceway. There was one guy there and another guy there. And the one guy was like, you know, the main guy there. But yeah, there was nobody there but me and probably one other guy and the hotel front desk man there. And that's really all there was.
And you guys had a walk. Now, Jimmy, you also had a walk in the snow.
Yeah, it was an incredible experience. Yeah,
and you had no change of clothes.
I had clothes with me. I had a. I'm an Eagle Scout. Look, be prepared. I had a sleeping bag, a duffel bag, everything I needed to stay as long as I wanted to. I just didn't know there were showers in this building until 2 months after the blizzard ended.
There's showers in this building?
There are showers in this building that I've discovered since.
Is that the old fitness center that's in the other building?
there's a fitness center in this building now.
Interesting.
They moved it to the back by the emergency stairs. I did not know. That is something we all could have, because let's just say by the third day, we all needed a shower.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't really matter, but the sense of urgency with all of it, with knowing what was going on, it really put things further into perspective.
Oh, yeah.
To walk just a mile, a half a mile in that weather, really, to the warm building, it was like, I have a purpose here. I have to be here and serve the public. And I don't care when I go home. I don't care if it's a week from now. I'll stay here as long as I have to and sit on the board, record, document audio, answer phone calls, do whatever I have to do.
And I think we all felt that, right? We all felt while we were here, while we were on the air or helping out in the newsroom, on the board, that we have a duty. We are really the only outlet that is live all day. We didn't take a break. We didn't go to a recorded show. We didn't go to a satellite show. We were live through the storm and after. And, you know, like I said, we opened the phone lines and it was the community calling in and providing help and you know, going out themselves and checking on people who they had heard. When we come back, I want to talk about everyone's drive home and what you noticed. Now, Pasquale and I had the same drive home, so we'll just be going back off of each other. But I'll never forget that drive down transit with the trucks and the cars just on the side. We saw an ambulance stranded. We'll talk about that. We'll talk to Max. We'll talk to Jimmy. It is Blizzard 2022 Revisited. Also, we'll talk to you, 803-0930, star 930, your memories of the blizzard that was a year ago tomorrow here on News Radio 930 WBEN.